let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for being with us on the program today, This Week in America, coast to coast, online at thisweekinamerica.us. People get excited discussing bucket lists. It's fun to plan out the ordinary events, out of the ordinary events or travels. Obviously, a bucket list contains special things we'd like to accomplish before we are gone, hence the term bucket list, because we want to do this or that before we kick the bucket. That's okay, but how often do we think about something we'd like to do to please the Lord before we're gone? The Bible bucket list from Paul Kasher takes a different approach to these sorts of endeavors. The goals or items in this book often require prayer and serious self-introspection. In return for this serious thinking, a more fruitful life is in store, along with more assurance for a blessed eternity, suggestions for a lofty goal, well, with eternal rewards. Paul is a teacher, church historian, author, pastor. Paul Kasher, author of the Bible Bucket List, is our guest on This Week in America. Paul, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's great to be with you.
I love the book cover, and you will see that when you go to Amazon and look into it or see the video that's on our website. And I love the title. It captures your attention right away, and we'll talk about the title here in a second. But first, let's establish exactly who you are. I mentioned that you are a teacher, church historian, author, pastor. How long have you been involved in the ministry?
42 years.
I'm sure you've seen a lot in those 42 years.
Oh, yeah.
The book is so powerful because this is really a thought-driven book. And with that background, where all did you go to school?
I did my training in communication at Gordon-Conwell, which is in right off the North Shore of Boston, not too far from Harvard. And it is a very reputable first-class seminary. I was glad that they accepted me as a student.
To go there. Was one of those that, yeah, when you get the acceptance letter, you think, wow, I've actually really gone ahead and done something there. But talk about
I hope it wasn't a mistake.
Yes, and you started school, they cashed the check, so they had to take you at least for for the first term there. Let's talk about some of the degrees. Very impressive background. Talk about the degrees that you were able to earn.
Well, the last one is usually the one that counts if you have a doctorate. And some people love to use the name. It really doesn't matter to me. I mean, if you've earned it, you've got it. And it's in specifically communication and taking ancient scriptures and making them sound sensible to a modern secular society.
Well, and that is so important. Yeah, that's so important. The book we're talking about is The Bible Bucket List. Paul Kasher, our guest on the program, that's Kasur. The book's available at Amazon. You can link directly onto that Amazon site by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about the experiences you had in teaching, and I'm sure they were very rewarding and widespread during the 15 years. What was that experience like in teaching for that many years?
Well, it's always encouraging to be around fired up young people who are excited about what they're learning. And, you know, you just have to kind of roll with it and meet the kids where they're at and kind of try to communicate on the same level as them, which is a challenge, seeing how it changes so often. You know, for those of us who grew up in the 60s or 70s, you know, may not be able to relate easily with kids from the 90s or, you know, the teens, the single digits, you know, Gen X, whoever all these other groups are. I mean, I'm familiar with the boomers, but, you know, the millennials and Gen X and all these other ones, I mean, I get lost.
Well, I do too. So, you know, falling in that boomer category, it's like you've got boomers and the others, and that's pretty much how you do that. And everybody's broken now into these small demographic categories. And just when you think, well, maybe I'm relevant dealing with people from in that age group, you find that that's changed. Like you said, every 6 months, something new has come along, and it's pretty difficult to keep up with all of that. I mentioned you're a successful author. You did an earlier book that got translated into two other languages. Talk about the process of doing that.
Well, that was through my experience in teaching. The Bible school where I taught was very missionary-oriented. So there were young people who would either go back to their native countries, and in both the cases, one of the books was translated into French because this African brother from Togo, French is one of the main languages over there, he translated it to use with his people over there. And then we had another young man who grew up somewhere in Eastern Europe back, you know, during the communist times, and his father, you know, also in Romania, one of those uptight countries. And this young man and his wife went back as missionaries to Macedonia, and he translated the book into two other languages to use in his missionary work. And it's just a very simple volume on, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's just a simple question that this kid from Europe recognized could be a practical way to reach young people in Europe with the gospel.
And with this book we're talking about on the program today, the Bible Bucket List, you have to be capturing attention and reaching out to people. Where did the idea, because bucket list has become something we all talk about, pretty much whatever demographic group you're in,
right,
you're familiar with bucket list. When did you get the idea that I'm going to do a book based on the Bible, the Bible Bucket List?
Well, like you said, you know, the concept of bucket lists, everybody's talking about them.
Yes.
But no one ever talks about, hey, you know, can I do something for the next life that really matters? And I understand this is not for everybody. You know, you may have listeners, you know, that are profoundly secular, and they really don't think that there's anything useful from Scripture, aside from the dynamite amusing stories and accurate historical information that's within the Scriptures. There's practical information to make your everyday life abundant. And, you know, just by keeping a couple of these simple rules, you know, which we believe the Lord has given us, it just kind of makes things better. So why not construct a list of things, kind of like a secular bucket list, but, you know, rather than, you know, flying in a wingsuit over the Grand Canyon and landing in a raft just before you go down Class 5 Rapids. Now, that sounds like a bucket list item, you know, but once it's done, it's done.
Exactly.
And you have the pictures.
Yes.
You might have it on your GoPro camera, and you brag about it to your friends, but it really doesn't do anything, aside from puff you up with the prideful, you know, accomplishment you just did, but it really doesn't do anything for your heart, your soul, and for, more importantly, how are we going to stand up at the judgment? So this Bible bucket list kind of helps us look at more important eternal things.
How long did it take you to put the book together from the time when you had this idea to actually coming up with the Bible bucket list and having items in there that really are going to be rewarding and beneficial for us?
About 2 to 3 years of thinking about it and making some public addresses on the subjects, getting some feedback from people, and then it just came together. But it was probably a 2 or 3 year process.
And you've written other books as well. Compare the Bible bucket list to, well, tell us the titles of the other books that you've written and how this compares with the others.
Well, the first one we were talking about that was translated for use in Europe and in Africa, that was just a simple, these are like sermons that were modified to be put in book form. And the first one just answers a very simple question, Lord, what do you want me to do? Again, it has to do with how is my life going to be pleasing to the Lord one of these days. I mean, the only two things we can't avoid is death and judgment. People think you can avoid, you know, death and or maybe death and taxes. But actually, you know, if you're crooked enough, you could probably get around the taxes.
Yes.
But we can't get around death and judgment. So just preparing for that ultimate thing that's going to happen, I figured people should know the answer to the simple question, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then there's another book that's related to that. It's kind of a companion book. And it's, Lord, how can I serve you better? So those two books, they have as their title a question, and all of the 20-some-odd chapters in it are just short answers to that question. Lord, how can I serve you better? And Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, the other book's just a kind of a fun book on a boomer's guide to snowboarding. But that has nothing to do with the, you know, with the books with the heavier, weightier, eternal content.
Now, are you a big snowboarder? Is that where that came? How that came about?
Well, I'm not as big as I used to be, but I'm as good as I ever was, I guess. Yeah, I got started late in life, and I got addicted. I took my kids, addicted, and then it became very expensive. But I still have had a great time, and I wish I would have started it sooner.
Well, in all those books that Paul talked about, you'll find at Amazon if you look up Paul Kasher, and that's Kacsur. And I know your wife has helped you along in the writing process as well.
Well, she has. And you know, like for the snowboarding book, I couldn't have gone so many times to amass the knowledge to write a book if, you know, because I'm obsessive and compulsive about it, and I did it for over 20 years. You have to have a patient wife to put up with that. So that's one way that she helped me. And also in the formulation of the Bible-centered book, she's a very good sounding board. Like if I'll make an address about something or preach in a sermon something that might end up being in a book later, she'll let me know, you know, you might want to rephrase this. It's just good to have a good spiritual female brain to bounce things off of.
Well, yeah, and one that's not afraid to say if something needs change, that it needs to be changed. It's very helpful as you're going through that process. As people are reading the Bible bucket list, what are some of the things you'd like them to take away from the book?
It'll be pretty self-evident by the time they read the first chapter, which, you know, the first chapter is oddly enough called the conclusion, but that comes from the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, where King Solomon gave us an ancient example of what the ancient party animal would do to fulfill a bucket list. And he came to the end of that search and he said, you know, the only thing that matters is fearing God and keeping his commandments. This is after a guy with more money than most of us, maybe Donald Trump, you know, can identify with Solomon's riches, you know, but for the rest of us, you know, Solomon did just, you know, or we'd do the type of things that Solomon would do, and we'd do it if we had the money. Solomon had the money to explore everything, you know, wine, women, and song, and he came to the end and realized, man, you know, what really matters is what's going to happen after I'm gone. So that is the first thing. If that doesn't interest you, but, you know, you're really not going to care about the other stuff. However, there is practical stuff in there, like, you know, letting grudges go, making things right, you know, things that just kind of are very cathartic. They're very heart-cleansing, and once you do it, you wish you would have done it sooner.
Yeah, I can see just, in looking through that list, it's like, wow, this is such a great idea. This would have changed my life had I known this, you know, had the book been available. Had Paul written this book instead of, you know, the snowboarding, he would have written this 10 years ago, then, you know, it could have changed my life, because it really, so many of the items that you talk about in there really are life-changing and simple to do. Some are relatively easy. Let's talk about a couple of those. Then some require a little bit of thought, a little bit of work. What are some of those that are relatively easy to do and we'll feel much better after we do them?
Well, I wouldn't say that praying through is an easy thing to do, but it's kind of staying at it until you feel some concrete direction from the Lord. And I know some of this sounds mystical and funky and far out, but, you know, for Christians who pray on a regular basis, go to a church that talks about praying, you know, you know what it is to pray one time and give up, and then you know what it is to pray a little bit longer until a prayer gets answered. That's something that could help, making things right, letting things go. And then there's an unusual chapter in there about shocking your spouse. You know, it's a good thing for us to do something nice for our spouses while we can, because there's a short story, a short little testimonial in that chapter, I think, of a guy, an older guy, standing up at the fresh grave of his wife, and obviously she died before him. And he's talking to the mound of dirt. He says, honey, was I a good enough husband for you? And, you know, as poignant and as tear-jerking as that story is, that's not the time to be asking that question. You know, the time to say to your wife or your husband, hey, have I been good enough, is when they're still alive. And, of course, we may be afraid of what they're going to tell us, but still, if you want the truth, they'll lay it on you.
You know,
I know my wife would.
Well, yes, and that's something that, you know, as you're reading, it's like, boy, I could do this and make my life better and my wife's life better just by even asking if there's, you know, how have I been, what can I do to make your life better?
Yeah.
It's little morsels like that you'll find in the Bible bucket list. What kind of response are you getting with the church community, the people you come in contact with? What kind of response are you getting?
They seem to like the novelty of the idea, and like I would have thought, if someone would have come out with this, I would have said, man, how come this hasn't come out sooner? You know, why hasn't somebody thought of this sooner?
Yes.
And it just shows the over-secularization of our culture and society. Whenever people talk about something that has to do with eternal matters and the next life, people just want to get off that subject as soon as possible. So it's only a select group of people, you know, Bible-believing Christians, that are going to say, hey, there could be something good in here that's going to make my eternal state and my standing before God and the coming judgment easier, better, you know, more what it ought to be. I mean, all of us would love to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, what makes us think we're going to hear that if we haven't done well? So get after it.
That, well, yes, and this is a guide to help you, and you'll give us ideas and suggestions. But what I really like about this, the Bible Bucket List, the book we're talking about, once we see your list, we can sort of develop our own, can't we? I mean, we come up with all sorts of ideas after we follow
your
lead.
Can. Yes, you sure could. And nothing would make me happier than if someone else plagiarized everything in my book and came out with Volume 2 with new, interesting stuff added to it.
You know, that wouldn't
bother me at all.
Not at all. And what I think you have to remember, people will go through and you give them ideas. We'll come up with ideas. But the execution is a key, right? It's nice to know that we're thinking about this and we would like to do this. We really need to follow through.
Yeah. Well, it's good, you know, churches are generally communities, and, you know, we get together and swap notes, and, you know, if somebody finds this interesting, you know, maybe they'll tell somebody in their church, and, you know, it's kind of word of mouth, just like anything else. So hopefully someone will hear this, and it'll spark an interest, and if they get it and tell somebody that they know, you know, really, it's up to the Lord how this whole thing is going to get publicized, if it's going to get publicized.
Well,
it's all about his business. So.
It is such a unique concept, the Bible Bucket List. Paul Kasher, that's K-A-C-S-U-R. A couple minutes left in the program. You're a very talented writer. Are you working on something, a new project now?
Well, there's going to be another compilation of messages about some rhetorical questions in the Bible. You know, rhetorical questions have always interested me. And, you know, just the fact that, you know, you ask this question, you already know the answer. You know, it's kind of like when our parents would get frustrated and say, are you asking for a spanking? You know, we didn't have to think about it and say, well, you know, wait a minute. I know that. No, you know, just by them asking the question, you know, it's a rhetorical question. And the Bible is filled with some of these that have such heavy import to them that they should be considered, and that's something that's I'm working on. You know, some of the great questions, like, for instance, Jesus asked, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You think about that. You know, what is worth it? I want this solar system and another one. Okay, but you lose your soul. I mean, you know, what can be more? And, you know, as I said, the Bible is filled with amazing, striking rhetorical questions like that. You know, they just show us where people's heads are at.
Well, good luck with that book, because I'd love to have you back to talk about that. I've got all these things playing through my mind now as you're talking about that. And with you in getting the word out on the books, it has been Reader's Magnet. What's it been like to work with them in getting the book out there, the Bucket Bible List?
I have been surprised that they've been pursuing this so diligently. You know, I was glad that they were able to arrange this. But, you know, they're handling another book, which is soon to be released. They're almost finished with it. Another book called The True Statement Spoken by Unbelievers, which is, again, it's a compilation of about 12 Bible stories where total unbelievers made amazingly true statements. And this is the first book of mine that they've published. And I was really happy with the artwork, the layout, you know, the cover design that they came up with. So I found Reader's Magnet to be pretty valuable.
Well, and you'll find the book there. You can go to Reader's Magnet, their website. You can also, of course, go to Amazon for the book. And you can link onto those by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book is The Bible Bucket List by Paul Kasher. That's K-A-C-S-U-R. Paul, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Excellent job with this book. Looking forward to the next couple of books you've got coming. I would love to have a chance to talk about both of those. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thanks
it has been a pleasure. The book is The Bible Bucket List. Paul Kasher, our guest on the program. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.